Okay, I'm here with Eric. And Eric, can you go ahead and introduce yourself and then we'll get this going.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my name is Eric Nevins and my podcast, which is what I primarily do these days, is called Halfway There. It's a show that's really based on my background in spiritual growth and formation. And so we try to talk about certainly coming to Christ, but then also all the ups and downs after that and kind of the things that can happen. So anyway, that's what I do. I live in Denver. I've been married 21 years and have four kids, and they keep us busy.
You're very busy. And that's the type of person that I'm looking for in my group as well, that I can support them, because fellowship, which is a biblical principle, often I have found, maybe this isn't true of you, Eric, but I have found that we don't have the fellowship that we used to have maybe in college or high school or pre-marriage. And that's one thing that I'm really looking to do with my group. It's all about living a Christ-centered legacy. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that there's some theology out there that states that once you come to Christ, that life's going to be easier. But the Bible doesn't really teach that. No. It doesn't necessarily mean that we should focus on negative things that are happening, but it does say that we'll bear crosses and things of that nature, and that life is not going to be we're not should be ashamed of the gospel, and sometimes we can be somewhat maybe persecuted for that, or thought, like I was told one time that I'm going to a sane asylum because I believe in something that I believe is theologically strong. So with that being from an atheist. So, you know, it's an interesting world out there, but I'm glad you brought that up. So can you talk more about how you feel that God maybe has led you to this point with your podcast? And I want to hear more about that podcast and how you can help Christian men.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, where do we start? That's the real question.
Okay.
Can I ask you to hold on for just a second?
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, edit that out. But my dog opened the door and she's barking. I'm sorry. Okay. If I close the door, it won't bother us.
Yep.
Sorry about that. I had the door closed. Anyway, I'm not being a very good podcast guest.
Sorry. You know what? But people will know that it's real, and that's what I like.
I hope you take all that out. All right. I love the question. And I'm not exactly sure where to start. So let me just start here. The thing that I'm really interested in and have been for my whole life, I remember being in high school, having this question, like, why do I read these things in the Bible and I don't see what happens there in my church? And so we were functionally cessationists, which I know you're a theology guy, but I just couldn't get over that. I was like, I don't see that this stopped. I see this is how God interacts with people throughout Scripture. What's going on there? And so that really led me on a journey to try to figure out that question, and eventually through a variety of circumstances, I can go into more if you want. Took me to places like Dallas Willard and some of his writings, and then ultimately to Denver Seminary, where I got my Master of Divinity, but also with an emphasis in spiritual growth, spiritual formation. And so for me, that was the that really started to answer some of the questions about how does spiritual growth occur, and why are we maybe not seeing the things that we would like to see? So my podcast came about, let's say 8 years after I had graduated seminary. That was a long season. And it was really the opportunity for me to just kind of say to people that the spiritual journey, the Christian journey, is actually longer, it is deeper, and it is wider than we've been told in most of our evangelical churches. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. I don't know if I fully understand that, but that might be a topic for another conversation between you and
okay.
I. I've been Christian my whole life, and I am in a conservative evangelical Lutheran, probably the most conservative. But people get that confused. That doesn't mean that we do not love people liberally, at least for myself. I love everybody, and I want everybody to hear about the good news of God and specifically Amen. Jesus. So with that being said, I do have some questions for you. How can the group help you? What does it mean to be legendary with Christ at the center? I think our world terms of legendary definitely means financial success. And I think it's biblical too that we can be wealthy. That doesn't mean that everybody is guaranteed to be wealthy. Not everyone is going to be Solomon. Not everyone, and it even says that in the Bible, that there will be no other king anyways that is as wise as him. So with that being said, what to you is a legendary legacy with Christ at the center? What does that mean for you?
I love that question. So actually, I just came from a meeting with a guy that I met the other day. I was like, I got to know you. I got to learn more about you. So I'll just tell you kind of what I get from him, because I think he defines it in a
okay.
You know, he just sort of exudes the spirit, right? He has this, and yet he's super humble. And so that, I think that's very interesting, combination of characteristics, because the reality is if God is living in us, then we have some power. We have some presence to us. That's his presence, but it's also combined with who we are, who he's made us to be. He's made us to be powerful. In scripture it says we will rule and reign with him forever, right? That's what he wants for us. So we are powerful. Mm-hmm. I think so just seeing in this gentleman that I met, he does. He reigns over his life. But he also is helping other people and helping other men kind of come out of bondage. But he exudes the spirit and he's humble about it. And I just when you ask, like, what is a legendary, what does it mean to be legendary in Christ? You're a servant, and yet powerful. And so that's the interesting thing. I could talk about this for a while, but like with Jesus, he didn't have to serve, right? And yet when he takes off his robe and he bends down to wash the feet of his disciples, they're astonished, because he shouldn't have to do that, but he does it because he loves them. So, ultimately that's the place where we're wanting to dwell, I think, in our spiritual journey, is in that life of love and service to other people.
Yeah. So one of my points is humility with confidence and power, though. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think of, and when I say great, human beings are all equal. I believe in we are all. And somebody wanted to correct me on this. I do believe in original sin. I do believe that nobody will be perfect, but through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are looked at as being perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, through God's eyes. And the point that I want to make here is that humbleness gets humility. I was just reading an article on humility, so I want to bring this up. And humility does not mean that we get walked upon. Humility means that we serve, but we also have confidence and power, like you had said. We have power because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when you have the Holy Spirit in us, that gives us power, but that doesn't mean... It's not the power that people think of, I think, that maybe are unbelievers or that don't have faith. It's a power that we know where we're going when we do end up leaving this life. And my point with legendary legacy men is where we can have fellowship and where we can all be together. And there's always one area of life, I think, that people struggle with the most. And for me, it's business. And I'm not exactly sure why, and I keep praying on it. And I do stuff like this where I think my talents are. But the long and short of it for me is, what area of life do you feel that the group can help you with, or do you feel that you struggle with the most? If we look at, obviously, everybody's spiritual life should be fine because we all have faith in Jesus. But then it's our, I think what you're saying, our sanctified life, how we live our life now because of that, is something that we can always grow. We'll never be perfect, but we can strive for excellence. So with that being said, is it your fitness? Is it your, the financial, the business? Or what area of life do you feel that you struggle with the most? And which one do you feel you're strongest with?
Boy, that is a really good question. I think, I think relationally is probably a place where I struggle a lot.
Relationships in the family. I'm glad you brought that up. Relationships in the family or relationships in the broader scope?
Interestingly, probably both, right?
Okay.
So, I definitely, which is funny because if you know me, like, I'm fairly open, I think, with people. I like to meet new people. That's one of my favorite things about what I'm doing now is, we have this Facebook group for Christian.
Yeah. Give me one moment, please.
Sure.
Okay. My apologies. Somebody walked into my fitness studio here.
All good.
So now we both have something.
That's good. That's what editing's for. Anyway, I have this. So, like, I like to meet new people. I really do. And I like to even go have deep conversations with them. A lot of times I don't want to play around with the superfluous kind of pleasantries of a conversation. Yeah. I want to know what people think and I want to go deep. But what ends up happening is I'm a question asker. And so I love to ask questions about
me too, if you hadn't noticed.
So. Yeah. What's fun is for me is to be the guy controlling the conversation through the questions. And so I do that with my podcast. I ask questions and I get people to tell me their stories and they open up in ways. A lot of times when we get done, people will say, I almost never share those stories with people. I don't know why I shared that with you.
Interesting.
And I love that. Like, that to me is one of the highest compliments you can get. The other one is when people go, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Love that. What that does though, is it means I get to hide, right? I get to not be as open and vulnerable with people as they're being with me. And so I get a feeling of connection without being known. And that, honestly, that's something that I've just been working on and aware of in the last couple of months and weeks even, that I'm going, wow, I didn't realize, like, I thought I was pretty open with people, and I am at times. And yet there's a lot more going on that sometimes doesn't get to be heard because I care about other people and I'm asking them questions.
Okay. So the relational side in terms of you're usually asking the questions and you feel like sometimes maybe letting the other people ask the questions and being vulnerable would help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that sort of two-way street, right? So, this is the interesting thing, right? In order to be powerful in a conversation, you have to also be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. Yeah, that's good. So in terms of, I think this is all good stuff. So can we go a little bit more in depth with your career background and your business, if you don't mind?
Sure. So that's, for me, is kind of an interesting place at the moment. So I told you that I went to seminary. When we moved out here to Denver, I got a job at a large financial firm here in town and was on the phones getting yelled at 10 hours a day. That was a lot of fun. I did that all through school. And here's the thing. God blessed that that job in some ways that I didn't really expect. Like, I was ready to quit and go work at Starbucks so I could have a more flexible schedule. I was going to school. And we had two little kids at the time. And my boss just said, I'm not going to let you do that. And she went to bat for me like two or three levels above her to get special permission for me to work part-time, which this company did not do. But they let me work part-time.
Interesting.
So God really provided for us there. And I'm so grateful. The whole time I was in seminary, I worked hard. I went to school and I had this young family. And I tried to do ministry at the same time. And that was just disastrous, or hard anyway, I should say. But what that meant was that we kept putting money into a 401k, right? We had health insurance, and that was awesome. So I see God's provision in that position.
Mm-hmm.
After I graduated in 2009, so right after the crash, a lot of the economy was still down, a lot of churches weren't hiring, and especially guys who didn't have a lot of experience. Unless you wanted to go, the boonies somewhere. We had young kids and didn't really want to do that. Never felt really led, which was interesting. It didn't feel like God was ever saying, yes, go. So we just kind of stayed there, and I was at that financial firm for 13 years.
Okay.
Doing all kinds of things. So I eventually worked on a helpline, helping the reps who were doing the stuff that I used to do. And then I did kind of operational stuff. So I was creating the chaos that caused questions.
Okay. About
people's checks and blocking their debit cards and fun stuff like that. Things that make people mad. which that was fun some days. anyway, it was there were times when it was interesting, but the whole time I had this feeling of like, this is not where I belong. This is not who I am. And so I want to follow what I think God has made me to do. So a couple years ago, I discovered podcasting. And actually, when I went into that job where I was creating the chaos, I went from a job where I could read blogs and stuff between calls, you know,
mm-hmm.
to a job where I was working all, you know, doing stuff all day, clicking around. I couldn't really read anymore. So I switched to podcasts, and I started to find, you know, all the ones that you hear about, the big ones, John Lee Dumas and Michael Hyatt, and eventually Cliff Ravenscraft, some of those guys that I really have a lot of respect for. And I started to wonder, like, how could I use this for spiritual growth, like to kind of help change the narrative within the church about what spiritual growth is like. And, you know, in 2015, then I started working on that and started my podcast in 2016. But I tell you all that because this last year, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I quit my job at that large financial company.
Okay.
To focus on this full time.
Okay.
That was a huge risk. You know, that the day that I put in my resignation, I had like 10 years of anxiety in one day. Everything that had been holding me back as a limiting belief or a fear or a you know, just came to me in waves over and over and over again. And I had to coach myself and I had to pray and I had to ask God, like, I think this is what you're asking me to do, but I'm really scared. And he was good. And he took me through it anyway. So I quit.
Okay.
So that sort of gives you kind of the background. So today I'm trying to develop some stuff to help people, my own products to help on that spiritual journey. So I can go into like where I want to help them if you want to hear about that.
Yeah, a little bit more specifics about who you want to help, I guess, would be most appropriate, and how can the group support you with that? And is there any other way that the group can support you as it pertains to, if we look at it, I think that all areas of life revolve around, number one, our faith. Okay, so that's the cross is at the center. And then there's fitness, there's finance, there's business, there's family, and that can be the greater family. There's fellowship, there's fun. So a lot of the F words can fit into this. And what areas do you need help with, or do you feel that you struggle with, and what areas could you maybe help the group with? I think one area is if anybody has a podcast that's in my group or that ever joins this group or ever hears this, you're willing to possibly do a podcast with them or help them create podcasts. Is that correct? So go a little bit more into depth with that. And I want to learn more about your family and what they all do. And you said you had kids, and I want to hear more about that. And then I think we'll wrap it up in about the next 15 to 20 minutes, if that works for you, Eric.
Yeah, well, I can talk forever, so you just tell me. yeah, so, you know, how people can help. So there were a bunch of things in there, but I'll start with this. As far as who I want to help, it's really helpful to know, to understand how the spiritual journey works. There's a book called The Critical Journey by Hagberg and Gulick that I recommend to everybody.
Okay.
So you might throw a link in to that.
And Eric, I just want to clarify something. When you say spiritual journey, are you talking about the God of the Bible and Christian journey?
Yeah. So yeah, Christian journey is
the same. Yeah. Because I want to point something out real quick, if you don't mind. I was just on a very popular course creation place that I have a bunch of courses on. And interestingly enough, my background is in fitness, and I have been in the fitness industry for 14 years. I've trained 20,000 training sessions.
Wow.
And yeah, that's what most people say. They're like, wow. And I felt like there's something more or something. And that's where this has come in. It's been on my mind for actually years, so much like you. But being an entrepreneur, I think there's a book out there too called Called to Create. 290 some. Have you heard of it? If you haven't, I would highly recommend it. 290 for entrepreneurs and business owners and anybody that's creating something, which you're creating a podcast. But where was I headed with this? I had an important point. This place where they have the courses. The first, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages is all about what I would consider to be anti-Christian. And they say spiritual, but to them, spiritual is stuff that is not, in my opinion, and I think this is backed by the Bible, not Christian stuff. And so I started to create Christian programs on there. And there are many on there, but none of them are in the top pages for spirituality. So that's why I wanted to point that out. Because as it pertains to spirituality, there's one question that has to be answered. Who was, is, and always will be Jesus Christ? And I think we have to be reminded of that, is that who is, was, is that person? I've heard everything from a space traveler to a prophet, to a good person, to a crazy person, to everything in between. And I believe he was the savior of our world and true God and true man. And I think that's important to for people to hear that are unbelievers. That's what we believe. We are not forcing that upon anybody else. But I think that question has to be asked. And why is he so controversial? I think he's so controversial because he's the only one that says that he was God that actually was. That's an opinion that is backed by my faith. And I hope that I can always say that in our society. So with that being said, I even forgot what the question was about, but yeah.
Yeah. So to that point, absolutely. It's interesting. So the emphasis in my MDiv, they changed it from spiritual formation to Christian formation for that same reason, right? To be a lot more specific. Yep. I want to tell you a story. I went to a conference a couple of weeks ago and it was not a Christian conference, but I was there as a podcaster who, so the whole thing was kind of set up as people who either have podcasts or coaching businesses, authors are trying to get their message out, get more people. They can come and they can give you a pitch to kind of get them.
So business, no spirituality.
Not necessarily, but there were people who were spiritual.
Okay. So interesting.
There was me and one other lady who were explicitly Christian. There were other people who are Christians, but were there to represent their businesses.
Right. Okay.
Which is fine. That's good.
Yep.
But so the interesting thing to me was that, I got up there and I talked about my show and what I'm trying to do. And afterwards people came up to me and they would often say, Eric, I'm spiritual, but not religious, which is sort of code for I'm not a Christian. Right. But I still have this spiritual piece to me. Some of them had grown up in a particular denomination. Some were sort of fundamentalist and they got burned by that. Yep. And a lot of them just said, you know what? I respect Jesus, but I don't, but I also like Buddha and I like, some of these other things. And I kind of make it my own amalgamation of that. Here's what I learned from that. We often think that people are not spiritual if they're just living their life. They're not Christians. That nothing could be further from the truth. People are spiritual, and they're seeking. They're trying. That spiritual part of you is a part of every human being. Mm-hmm. So whether they are Christian believers or not, they are a spiritual being, and they have some spirituality.
Yeah, I think one thing you're saying is that everyone has a soul.
But here's my point. We have to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. So what I did with those people, it was interesting because some of them were like, oh, maybe I could come on your show and talk about that. I have this really high bar, right? You have to believe in Jesus as your savior in order to come and share your story with
us. That's an interesting, the way you put it. That's a high bar and a low bar at the same time.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But for them, it was a high bar and they were like, well, if you don't, okay, I get it. You're Jewish and you have this, you have a spirituality and they're closely connected even.
Yep.
But if you don't believe in Jesus as your savior, this is not the show for you.
Right. Okay.
I had to kind of draw that line, which I'd never had to do before. It was very interesting.
Oh, okay.
And yet I tried very much to be, open might not be the right word, to be respectful, I guess, of their spiritual.
Yes. I am so respectful of any belief that people have, as long as it doesn't harm other people. I am respectful of that. But we always have to, I think that you always want to seek truth. And what is the actual truth? You know, Jesus can't be the savior of the world and not the savior of the world, in my opinion, logically. It can't be both things.
Yeah, and there's a time for a logical conversation. I didn't have any of those.
Okay.
It was brief conversations that kind of focused around, what they were doing.
I respect that, and I think that that's awesome that you have drawn that line. It's like there are a lot of Christians in business that will not be as open. I don't push, but I always, when asked, and I have a cross behind me that you can see, and this is in my business, so I'm very open about my faith. But I also, I want to help anybody as it pertains to fitness that's the right fit for me, obviously. Mm. But so we got a little bit off topic there, but that was a that was a good point that the spiritual thing has. Everybody has a spiritual, how do I put it? Everyone has a soul, so that makes them spiritual. I think that's the best way that I can put it into words. But that doesn't necessarily, people are always seeking the truth, though. And people are in different parts of the journey about what is truth, I think. And who Jesus is a question that will always remain for me, I believe. I know that answer. So what were we talking about before? Oh, the family and the business. Okay, so those are the two last things that we wanted to discuss.
Yeah, so, is there anything specific that you want to know about my family?
Yeah, so how many kids do you have? And you're married, correct? Yep.
So we've been married. We just celebrated 21 years in August.
Congratulations.
Crazy to believe that.
Congratulations.
And it's been an interesting journey of kind of getting, like all marriages, I guess, getting to know one another. We got married really young.
Okay.
And getting to know ourselves, even kind of allowing ourselves to develop and respecting that in one another. I'm deeply grateful for my wife. Like, she is a really patient person and has had to live with me growing up in a lot of ways. But my kids, so we have four, we have a girl and three boys.
Wow.
Our daughter just started driving, so she takes all the kids to school in the morning, which is fantastic, very liberating, helps out a lot. And then three boys who, are growing up, one's a freshman, then we have two in elementary school. So.
Are they in Christian schools or are they in public schools?
They're in public schools. So okay. I'm actually a big believer in charter schools.
I'm very familiar. We could talk a very long time about that. We have charter schools with our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod that have done very well. So explain the charter thing. Do they go to charter schools? Is that?
They do, yeah. Okay. So, my daughter went K-8. To a charter school. Now she's in a public high school because that school ends. But she got a great education, and so now she's really doing a lot of AP courses and kind of the higher level.
Oh, great!
Work. She's a junior, and so I'm really proud of her. I think she's kind of an artist. One of my favorite things to tell my kids, when I was growing up, particularly like us Gen Xers, the baby boomers, their message to the kids were, hey, get a job and keep it. Stay there forever.
Yep.
My dad's about to retire from a job that he's had for 45 years. Right.
So, Eric, can I ask how old you are, if you don't mind?
I'm 42. Just turned 42.
I'm 40, so we're in the same boat there. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so that was kind of the message that I got, and I never really I wanted to be an artist in high school. I wanted to be an actor. Not wasn't a very good actor. I could have gotten better at it probably. But I thought, being a pastor is more meaningful, and I like that. And so I had this question that I told you about. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll go try to figure that out. And that just never materialized really. And I think now, praise God, because that was not maybe what he wanted me to do. But so anyway, all of that is in the context of teaching my kids that you can be an entrepreneur. There are ways to make money in the arts. as long as you understand the business side. So this is what I didn't have as a youngster, I guess. I had the passion, but I didn't have the discipline, and I didn't have any kind of concern. I thought business was a what am I looking for? It was corrupt, or it was boring. It was not, it's not what I want to. I want to just do the art. That's nothing could be further from the truth. The best advice I never took when I first went to school to get a degree in biblical studies, my bachelor's degree, I was studying it, and I kind of knew I wanted to go to seminary, and a seminarian there said to me, "Hey, if you're going to go to seminary, you know you're going to do that, study business in undergrad and then study marketing and then go and do your.
That was a very wise person.
Like I said, best advice I never took. I totally should have if I would have understood that more and thought more highly of business, I should have done that. So what I'm trying to teach my kids is you can absolutely, my daughter wants to be a writer. You can be a writer, but you got to enjoy the art and understand the business. And if you're savvy with the business end, you'll do quite well and you'll be able to fund your art. So that's kind of, something that I want to give my kids permission to do, to be entrepreneurs, to work for themselves. Man, I'm a terrible employee. I do not like to be told what to do. I don't want them to have that experience. Like
that's not the right fit for them. Everybody's blessed in different ways too.
Some people it works for them. If that's you, fantastic.
Yeah.
It was not me.
There are a lot of people that are entrepreneurs and they're Christian and they're well-meaning and they haven't realized it yet, but it may not work out. And I hate to say that, but it may not work out for them. So, because it has to work out for them financially. Otherwise, it can make sense to do other things. And that can take, there are a lot of dynamics with that and a lot of prayers and and a lot of times Christians say that they're, I do recommend, again, I can't speak highly enough about called to create. But a lot of times, and I've heard this from Christians, that they say, well, I was called to do this, but it didn't work out. And I believe that maybe they were called. I guess my point is whatever you're doing at the time is what you're called to do as a Christian in terms of your career. Well, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue other things, but that's what does the Bible say? It says to work like you are working for God, no matter what it is.
Yeah. There's a difference between stepping out in faith and expecting God to do everything. I think sometimes we try to do that. We try to go.
I like how you put that, Eric. Mm-hmm.
And that might be the case, but you need to just, you have to also do the work. I'll tell you the story. This happened to me. I quit my job in May, and in June there was this social media conference here in Denver, and John Lee Dumas was going to be there speaking. And I was like, if you guys don't know, John Lee Dumas is Entrepreneurs on Fire.
He was
do a daily podcast, and he releases his numbers every month and talks about how much money he's making. It's awesome. But he's sort of like the top echelon of podcasters.
Right.
I want to see this guy because this is the business I want to have, sort of like that. So I can't afford $300 for a ticket because I just quit my job, right? And I opened up, I was watching a video. I looked at their page and I just said the small prayer. It wasn't like a big thing. I just let my heart say to God, man, I would love to go to this. Is there some way I could go? I watched a video that they made. And they were live video on Facebook, and I just shared it thinking, well, if somebody else in my community will go, I can maybe justify going, and I'd be able to spend some time with somebody who's doing social media around here as well. That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, and I share out the video. Nobody responds at all. 2 days later, I get a instant message on Facebook from the organizer of the event, and she says, Eric, I need your t-shirt size and your email because you want our free ticket. I didn't even know there was a free ticket, but if you shared it, I had no idea they were doing that contest.
That's amazing.
All the way to the end. I got the free ticket. I went, and so I get to the event. John Lee Dumas is sitting in the third row. In the second row, usually I'm a backseat guy, right? I'll sit in the back to a couple of rows because I'm just going to observe and watch. John Lee Dumas is in the third row sitting there. The 8 seats in front of him are completely empty. Nobody wants to sit in front of him. So where did I put myself?
Right in front of him.
Right in front of John Lee
Dumas. Awesome.
all day I was turning around, chatting with him, talking to him. Oh. And I got to talk to him in the you know, afterwards. And, you know, not super deep conversations or anything, like we talked about podcasting. We talked about some of the ways he's inspired me and some of the ways that he was different than some of the other speakers. And it was great. It was a real blessing. Yeah. And I have a picture I got to take with him. That was really
awesome.
But God provides like that. Yes. Right? That was, you know, and yet I'm working hard to create my business at the same time.
Yep.
Taking those steps in faith.
And I'll definitely pray for that, because the group that I decided on Christian men and fathers, but I really have a background in entrepreneurialism. Now I've been myself since 2008. So, yeah, and it's not all sunshine and rainbows. But if you can handle the perseverance and you can pray and you can trust and reach out to people and provide a great service and a great business or product, whatever it is. And it's awesome. So I think that's good. I love your background. Where can people find you, your podcast specifically, or your website?
Yeah. So the best way to find the podcast is, I would recommend, get your phone out right now. You're probably listening on an app that you like to listen to podcasts on. You can search Halfway There. So the idea is, you know, we're always in growth. And so we think there's a place there called spiritual maturity. We're actually always growing towards spiritual maturity. We're only halfway. That's the idea. But Halfway There, you can search that. You can search my name, Eric Nevins, and you'll find it. And you can subscribe there. To find me, though, you can go to my website, ericnevins.com, or halfwaytherepodcast.com.
Great.
Button. You can just send me an email if you'd like to. I would love to hear from you.
Great. And, you know, let's finish up. If you don't mind, I'd like to lead a prayer.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Dear God, thank you for bringing Eric onto this podcast. And I pray that his business can flourish, and that he does your will in his work, in his fatherhood, in his marriage, and that he puts you at the center of his life in all he does. We will never be perfect, but after we have you in our life, we know that we have heaven, and now we can strive for your will and perfection as best as possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So thanks for being on the podcast. Legendary Legacy is all about a Christ-centered life, and then maximizing that life after we have that. And I hope to be able to help more and more men. And my vision, maybe I could be on your podcast so I could speak about my vision. I've done a lot of self-improvement, and there's always something missing. And to me, that's Christ. The self-improvement part of it is great, and people's lives do improve, but that's just here on earth. But I want to look at our legendary legacy into eternity as well. And, you know, if you can find our group, if you're listening to this, you're probably aware of me. Look it up on Facebook. Legendary Legacy is the group name. So thanks, Eric. I appreciate you, and I am going to stop recording.
Thanks, brother.